Praise God. Well, I believe the Lord is here this morning. Great presence of God. Hallelujah. My. I tell you, I just enjoy the presence of the Lord. I mean, it don't get no better than anywhere than right here on Thursday morning class. My goodness, the presence of God, so wonderful, so powerful. Praise God. Amen. As you know, you can be turning to the 24th chapter of Luke this morning, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. As you know, for weeks now, we have been talking about the fire of God. Paul exhorting to Timothy, stir up the gift of God. And I tell you, I think it's a working. I think there's some people in our classes that are stirred up right now. And I tell you, you get stirred up and great things will happen. Amen. Just reminded of the scripture in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God stirred them up in the terms of their giving and building that the temple. Then Ezra, the Spirit got stirred up, man, until they brought money and gave to build the temple before the walls was built by Nehemiah, until there was money in heaps because the Spirit of God had stirred the people up. Amen. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the move of God in Genesis. Then we've talked 2 weeks about the burning bush, isolation, desolation, how God brought communication from that burning bush, and God began to incubate a dream and a vision, and the assignment came out of that burning bush. And that's where our assignment comes, when we stop, pull to the side, and hear and see what God's trying to tell us. Don't bypass the burning bush.
Right.
Hello? Yeah. Don't bypass that. Turn aside is what the Bible tells us, that Moses turned aside. And when he turned aside, God saw him turn aside. God saw him turn aside, and God spoke to him and said, hey, come on, don't come hither. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. We just sang about that. Don't you love that song? That is one of my favorites. There is something about the presence of God when we start talking about holy ground, prayer. You know, your prayer time should be holy ground. Right. Nothing should interrupt it.
Never.
You hear that? Your prayer time should be holy ground. No phone interrupt it. No dog barking interrupt it. Nobody interrupting it. It's just you and God in a solitary place. You get that? And your fasting days should be holy days and holy ground. You have dedicated that. This here was a barn. And God cast a vision when we first bought this place that it would be a ministry center, okay? And I remember the first time that Blake Martin came out here from Time Warner and started working on the internet, trying to get internet out here for us. And in the offices of the girls and Don's office right next door, he was there in a corner, and I said, Blake, you are wiring this place for us to reach the world. And I'll never forget, he said, boy, he said, if I'm doing that, I'm going to have to do a whole lot more than what I'm doing today. And we're coming closer and closer to when the television camera can be turned on, and people from all, if they're in Bangladesh, or if they're in Thailand, or if they're in Russia, or if they're in South America, or if they're in Canada, or wherever they might be, they're going to be getting just what you're getting, okay? That's been our dream for years. We're getting closer and closer to that right here on a Thursday morning, we have church. And we'll look at that camera, and we want to welcome our internet church with us today and pray that it's going to be a blessing. That's been my dream. I remember sitting at a steakhouse that's closed now, and it's Five Guys right off of Metcalf. Me and Miss Paula having lunch. This would have been 10, 12 years ago. And I looked at her, and I said, I pray the day that our ministry will be 24/7, 365. That is my ultimate, ultimate dream, and we're getting closer to that, and you're making it happen for us. Thank you for your attendance, your faithfulness, your tithe, your finances. You make that happen for us. Praise God. So let's go. Let me tell you, I think I got a rhema word this morning. When Paula was singing and she was having to look edgeways, let me tell you what I'm going to believe for. I'm going to believe for a monitor to go right up there that we can attach there to this wall that will hang down a little bit, that I can look up and read the scriptures and I won't have to turn my back on you and read these. I got that this morning, and that will happen. We're going to get a screen, just like we won't get one this big. We don't need one this big. But I think maybe a 42-inch screen, Don, that we can put right up there that I can see. When Paula's singing, she can see the songs that she's singing, you know, in case you would listen, miss a word. I'm just taking that moment to tell you that this morning. I just got that rhema word this morning. And it would be an inexpensive purchase for about $300. We'll sit it right up there. It'll be a smart TV. And while I'm preaching, it won't be eye level, but I can look up there and I can read. I want to read with me today the scriptures, okay? And there it is behind me, and I don't have to turn around because I have felt so awkward in doing that. So we're going to address that issue when we get back from Greece. And we're leaving Sunday morning for Greece for 2 weeks. And oh, I don't even want to go there this morning. I've got 39 minutes now to say what I want to say and start saying. Okay, but because we don't have the screen, I got to turn around and I've got to read the scriptures, okay? And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. When you're taking notes and you're writing the word Emmaus, write down beside that word, the word Emmaus means a warm bath. I preached this many, many years ago. It was one of those times in preaching, I was like Paul, whether I was in the spirit or in the body, I could not tell. I don't even know what I said that night. It was like I was floating. I was like floating this high off of the stage. That night, 250 preachers and their wives responded to an altar call. And I remember one of them, every time I see him, he said, "Robert, I've still got it on an old cassette, and I pull it out every now and then. And I listened to you preach that message in the March meeting way back in the 80s on a warm bath." A warm bath. And that's what this means. It means a bath, which from Jerusalem is about 60 furlongs. Okay. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Which things? The trial of Christ. Okay. The crucifixion of Christ. They're talking. Two of these are conversing back and forth. And they talked of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Okay, next verse. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Gotta get this. Their eyes were holden that should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He is saying, what is going on? I want to tell you this morning. I may not get all this preached today, okay? I'll have to finish when I get back from Greece. But I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is always concerned about what's going on in your life. Did you hear what I just said? He is concerned about what's going on in your life. And the Bible said he came and he began to question them. What manner of communications? What are you talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, "Are you a stranger? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things? What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed." They knew who he was. He was a prophet, mighty indeed, the word before God and all, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But, remember that word, that interjection? Everything that's been said prior to this is about to change. But we trusted that he had been, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all of this, to this today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company have made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen in a vision angels which had said, he is alive. Certain of them, we got a lot of reading to do. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, believe all the prophets that have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto a village, whither they went. He made as though he would pass through, or he would just keep going. You getting this morning? But they constrained him. They forced him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it, gave it to them. Oh, I just got a rhema word. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right now because I'm just about to take off. The last time that we read about him doing this very thing, or next to the last time he did break bread with them in the upper room, this same wording is in all four writers. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it unto his disciples, and they gave it out, and he fed 20,000 people with. When he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it, the miracle began to take place. Is that powerful or not? You got to let that one soak into you. And the Bible said, here's my first point. Their eyes were opened that they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Number one, their eyes, if you remember reading, their eyes were closed. They could not see and know who he was. Remember, I read that in the preceding verses. Number one, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were open that they knew him. They knew who he was. There's nothing as, listen to me. There is nothing greater than when you are bewildered and you are distraught. And yes, it didn't happen like you wanted it to happen. Things didn't just work out the way you wanted them to work out, and you're blinded to victory. Did you get what I just said? You're blinded to the victory that can come. If we're not careful, we get our eyes on the issue and not the one that can resolve it. Your eyes, we're not going to go into all this because that's my board meeting teaching, but I just read it yesterday in the book of Genesis, and I underlined it one after another, that her eyes looked at the fruit. Her eyes looked at the fruit. She looked, she lusted, and she lost. Your eyes. Oh, yes. The entrance of his word brings light. Did you get that just then? That's the scripture. The entrance of his word. How does his word enter into us? Okay, we'll read it. And we, and His Word enters into us. His Word, and when it does, there's another verse said, and it's a candle that searches the inner parts. You know what? The eyes sometimes are blinded to the things that God wants us to see and open to the things that we don't need to see. I'm going to give you a miracle of the Old Testament. Okay? Remember the story of the prophet Elisha and his servant? And they were in a tent that day, and early that morning they got out, and the servant went out first, and when he rubbed his eyes and probably yawned, and when he opened his eyes, oh, this is not what I wanted to see this morning. If you ever had one of those mornings, this is not what I wanted to deal with this morning. He went into the tent and he said, "Master, Master, I have looked and we're surrounded by the enemy. They're everywhere I looked. The enemy was around us." And he said, "Alas, Master, how shall we do?" And this is what the prophet did. The prophet prayed that God would open his eyes, okay? Open his eyes, but his eyes were already open. So what does it mean there? Really what he was saying, God shut his eyes to defeat, but yet it opened his eyes to victory. Sometimes before you can see the victory, you got to shut your eyes to defeat. Now that's a good point right there. Sometimes before you can see your healing, you got to shut your eyes to your sickness. Amen. Before you can see your breakthrough to financial blessings and financial turnaround, you got to shut your eyes to what your checkbook looks like. That's good preaching this morning, Brother Robert. Their eyes, they couldn't see. All they could see was this. It's the third day. If he's resurrected, he's gone. We're leaving the city. We're going to leave. It didn't happen like he said. That's what it said. Who are you? Are you a stranger? Don't you know what's happened in the last few days? This guy said he was going to resurrect. Some of his disciples went down this morning, went to an empty tomb. He's not there. It's the third day. Where is he? He's gone. Myth, story, lie, big lie. We're bewildered. We're leaving. It never was going to happen. He was a fall. I mean, all this is going through their minds. They're bewildered. It just didn't work out like they wanted it to. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times in our life that things may not work out exactly like we want them to. But if we will give God time, they will work out the way He wants them to. Because you see, when Lazarus died, that is not the way Mary and Martha wanted this to work out. Yeah. They had their own plans. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, when they sent word and said, "Go find our friend," he stayed in their house. We fed him. He's preached in our home. He's one of our best friends. He's the Son of God. He's the miracle worker. He's the water walker. He's the blind eye opener. He's the dead man raiser. He can do it. This is the guy we need. We got to go get him. Go get him. Go get Jesus. And when they got over there and said, "Hey, Jesus, could you stop preaching just for a minute? Would you stop teaching just for a minute?" I mean, this got to be pretty good to interrupt Jesus. I mean, you know what I mean? So what's the deal? He said, "Your friend Lazarus is at the point of death." I can see Peter, you know, preposterous Peter. When everybody else is staying in the boat, he's trying to walk on the water. When everybody else got their mouth shut, he's got his open mouth. He entered the room mouth first. And you know what? I can see Peter said, "Oh boy, let's get it all together. Come on. Hey, shut this thing down. Get our books together. Get the donkey ready. Tell them people to go home. We're going to heal. We're going to go heal Lazarus." And Jesus said, "We're not going anywheres, boys. We're not going anywhere. Is this for the glory of God? I'm telling you, that's going to throw a curve. You're talking about getting a catch and you get along. That's going to do it. You're thinking all the time, he's going to stop what he's doing. Let me tell you, you don't tell God when to work. You tell him when to work and you think it's going to get by. He's got his own timetable. There used to be an old song, you can't hurry my God. No, no, no. You just got to wait. Waiting is the thing that none of us want to do. You don't like waiting at a red light. You don't like waiting at the doctor's office, dentist office, bank, post office. You don't even like waiting on your microwave to get your coffee done warmed up in the morning. It only takes 30 seconds to do it. Or your Krispy Kreme donut only takes 8 seconds. You don't want to wait. We're not a waiting society. This past week, we got new tires put on my son's car. And so I picked him up and I said, well, you just drive mom's Mercedes back and I'll just ride with you. And we're coming down 69. He's got a pretty little heavy foot, okay? And we're coming down. And, you know, it is a law that you do not drive constantly in the left-hand lane. I don't know if you know that. Does everybody know that? Most everybody should know that. But there's people that don't know that. And this person didn't know that. And they're just driving along. And the whole Ethan's just getting closer and closer. And he's going, this is what he's doing when he's driving. Yeah, he's just trying to get him to get out of the way. And they're just going down the road like this. And he's saying, I seen they took their blinker. And he said, well, finally they listened to me. Couldn't wait. In a hurry. Okay? No, we're going to stay right here. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep doing what I'm doing. I've got an assignment here, and he's not going to let me go to my next assignment till I get this assignment finished. Did you get what I just said? Don't you start praying for your next assignment if you're not willing to finish the assignment that you're in right now.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to get down to really where I want to preach, okay? And it's probably not going to happen today. There's just so much in this, okay? Well, it didn't work out like they wanted it to work out. Day one went by. Day two went by. I mean, Lazarus, that dude's already dead. They done had his funeral. They done buried him. And by now he's stinking. And it's 3 days. And finally, Jesus said, okay, boys, man, it's just time to pack up. Let's go. Well, Jesus, he done dead by now. It's over. That's what they're saying here. It's over. He ain't resurrected. He's not who he said he was. And they're bewildered and they're on their way to Emmaus and their countenance is sad. Their conversation is sad. Their demeanor is sad because, are you ready for this one? It is a classic example of unmet expectations. I want to tell you one thing. There's a lot of things you can deal with. You cannot deal with unmet expectations. You're thinking it's going to come in up here, and it comes in way down here. You're going to be one upset dude. I can't deal with unmet expectations. That's why you learn to manage your expectations. Somebody better listen to me this morning. Manage your expectations. We had a little conversation, me and Miss Paula, this morning about an individual that was anticipating something coming in financially, and now it's probably not going to happen. And I said, there'll be, what was the classic statement on when calls the heart? There'll be a broken heart today. There'll be tears. I'll never forget when Twister made that statement. There'll be tears today. And I'll tell you, they probably will be. And oh, why? Because of unmet expectations. When he got to Mary and Martha's house, they said, where you been? This is what they really said. One of them said, if you would have been here, They're throwing the blame on Jesus. If you would have been here, our brother would not have died. If we're not, read your Bible. It's in there. They said it. If you would have been here, our brother would not. I mean, this is the one that he's been in their home and slept in their bed and ate their food and taught in their house. Mary and Martha. Martha's cumbered about. Mary sees the better thing. This is the house that we're talking about. And they said, if you would have been here, our brother would have not have died. I love what the next one come running out and said, but even now. Even now you can do it. Jesus, even now. Even now. You need to start. You know, there are times when it looks like it's hopeless. You need to say by faith, God, even now you can heal. Even now you can set free. Even now, unmet expectations. And they said, haven't you heard what's been going on? And Jesus, the Bible said, opened their eyes. And they knew him. Elijah said, God, shut his eyes and let him know there they be more with us than they are with them. We sing a song at church. We sang it the last two Sundays. Paula can help me with it. But it says, when I feel like I'm surrounded, this is how I pray. This is how I pray. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. When we're surrounded, we are surrounded. When we're surrounded, we are surrounded. But we're surrounded by God and angels encamped about us, okay? Listen to me. Get your eyes open. Quit being dimmed and darkened and blinded by the will of God. When you understand, I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to start seeing victory in my life. Things are about to change. I'm going to look at things differently than I've ever looked at in my life. But see, this is what gets you in trouble. Your eyes, how you behold it, how you see it. The Bible said he opened their eyes. They said one to another. Let's read on. They said one to another. Did not our heart burn? Though that's the fire I'm talking about right there. There it is. That's what we've been preaching about. Did you talk about holy heartburn? Now I don't thank the Lord, have heartburn. I don't know if I've maybe had one or two things in my life. But I've known people that live on Rolaids. I mean, just eating them by the handfuls. And Maalox. Heartburn. I want to tell you, this is the heartburn you want right here. You want this kind of heartburn. You want a holy heartburn. Did not our hearts burn with us while he talked with us? Second point. Ready? That he opened to us the scriptures. The first thing he did, he had to open up their eyes. The second thing he did, he had to open up the scriptures to them. There is nothing that brings revelation in the midst of your problems than to get in this book and open this Bible. And when God opens the scriptures to you and a rhema word comes out, your life is changed forever. Amen. I'm going to say this. You will live in defeat if you never open this book. If you never read this Bible, you're going to live in defeat. You're going to live in sickness. You're going to live in pain. God, because this, oh yes, yes, there's a scripture that says, anoint their eyes with eye salve. This word is a balm in Gilead. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. David said, I hid it in my heart that I may not sin against thee, God. Thy word. Oh, when you fall in love with the book, when you fall in love in the words of the book and the miracles of the book, then God begins to open the scriptures. I can understand when people want to spend more time reading everything else and not reading this. I have a problem with that. That's why we give you this calendar. Oh yeah, this is your tool, okay? This is your tool to victory right here. This is your tool to victory. This will change your life forever. When you read what we put in there, and you say, well, it's just the Bible. No, it's the verses of the Word of God that holy men of old were moved and inspired by the Holy Ghost to do and to write what they wrote. He opened up the scriptures unto them. There's been times that I have been sick. I mean, and I'm telling you, I remember the first time I did this was in Hazard, Kentucky. I won't go there, but we were there, and we were in the 40-foot fifth wheel. Never ever pull a 40-foot fifth wheel in Eastern Kentucky. Ever, never, never. And we had it backed up against Wabaco Pentecostal Church, and Wabaco was up on top of the hill, okay? And we were parked there, and that night I don't know what was going on. And I said, Paula, get me my Bible. And she got my Bible, and I'm telling you, I laid it on my chest. Companion. Oh, I tell you, I wish I could do what Joel Osteen. This is my Bible. It says I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. I want to tell you, it is. You ought to say, this is my Bible. It can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. It's my miracle book. It's my blessing book. It's my healing book. It's my saving book. It's my reviving book. It's fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. This is the book of all books. Bring me the book. Bring me the book. Yes. Bring me the book. Bring me the book of books. Mm-hmm. The Bible. He opened the scriptures to them. There is something happens. Oh, I tell you, every time, I am thankful that I was able to finish this year for the one time of many times this year I'll read the Bible through, but I finished it on my spiritual birthday, 47 years. What a great blessing, Serena, to finish it on my spiritual birthday. And I was reading this morning about Jacob and his two wives and two maidenservants. Do you know the 12 tribes of Israel were born from four different women?
Yep.
You didn't know that, did you?
Uh-uh.
No. No. Rachel, Leah, Bella, and Zilpah. That's the handmaidens.
They were the other girls' maids.
Mm-hmm. Read your Bible. You know who the two was born by Rachel? You're going to love this one. Joseph and Benjamin. And all of a sudden, I got this picture. Now I know why Jacob probably made the coat of many colors, because it was Rachel's boy. And Rachel is who he really, really loved. Rachel is who he was supposed to have got after 7 years of working and waiting. And that night when he got there in his room and Laban brought it in the auspices of dark, and when he woke up the next morning, he looked over and said, hey, Rach. And there was that weak-eyed Leah. Read it. It's in the Bible. She was weak-eyed. And he looked over there and he says, Jesus, help me, Lord. Been sleeping with the wrong woman. And he went to Laban and said, you promised me. He said, no, we cannot give her. We cannot give the younger before the older. You got to take her. And you know what? He worked 7 more years for Rachel, but he really worked 14 years for Rachel, because that's who he really wanted. Oh, hallelujah. And when she got pregnant with Joseph, he became the Bible said he was an adder to their life. And oh, you're going to love this. He was the adder to their life. A-D-D-E-R. Read it. It's in there. He was the one that reached over the wall and was wounded by his progenitors. But not only was he the adder of their life, but Benjamin was the nourisher of their life in their old age. Is that just not good or not? What does that have to do with anything I'm preaching this morning? I just have no idea. And what is it? This. When you open this book, when you open these scriptures, they leap into your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. It was the guy that was preaching on the street corner. Nobody wanted to hear him preach. Nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. I wish they had a coat or something to throw over something here, or a blanket, or bring me the pillow. Bring me the pillow over there. He was preaching. Nobody wanted to hear what he said. Nobody wanted to hear what he was saying, what he was preaching about. And he had an old hat on. He had his old hat on. And he reached over there on the sidewalk. Nobody was looking. And he laid his Bible down and he throwed his hat over just like that. And he backed away and said, "It's alive! It's alive!" People started coming around like, he said, it's alive! It's alive! It's a, and then he's getting a crowd by now. It's alive. When he thought he had enough to really preach to, he reached down there, took that hat off, and he said, "My word says there's spirit in their life." And boy, he got to preaching to them. It's when you get this Bible in the morning, you know what you need to say? It's alive. And it's alive, and it's my lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It's my shepherd when I'm lost. It's my bread when I'm hungry. It's my water when I'm thirsty. It's all I ever need. God wants to tell you his miracles, but you ain't going to get none of it reading National Geographic. Read the book. Take a look in the book. He opened the scriptures on to them. He opened the scriptures unto them. Let's go on. And the Bible said they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and they that were with him with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, had appeared to Simon." They told what things were done unto the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified. We're talking about the disciples that just a few days ago were seeing him ride the donkey, walk on the water, touch the leper, open up blinded eyes, raise the dead, you name it, break the bread, and 20,000's fed. Look what happened. The Bible said they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Have we heard this before? Remember that night when they were in the boat?
Yeah.
Jesus was on the mountain praying.
Yes.
They thought they were going to drown. Jesus come walking on the water, and they thought, "Oh, we see a spirit," because sailors are superstitious. They thought that word spirit in the Greek meant a phantom. Sailors are superstitious. That's why they said, "We don't sail on an east wind. We don't sail when the sun's red." There's many things. They're very superstitious and still are today. They thought they saw a spirit, and he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hand, behold my feet, and it's myself. Handle me and see." Did you get that? "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. He took it, did eat before them, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Third time, listen, write this one down. Then he opened their understanding. He opened their eyes. He opened the scriptures. He opened their understanding. In other words, their understanding was closed concerning what he's just said. I want to tell you this today. Don't have time to get into this, but one day we may talk about the division that was among the disciples. Do you know, even till Jesus died, even when he was on the cross, even the last few days, who's the greatest among us? Jesus? And they even sent their mother, "See if he'll let us sit beside him on his right hand when he comes into the kingdom." Peter was asking about what about John? What about John, Jesus? And Jesus said, don't you worry about John. You better take care of Peter. Mm-hmm. There was division among the disciples. And even, I just read it, they were terrified and affrighted. They were terrified and affrighted. They were afraid. He's a spirit. But the Bible said here, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, okay? Now you, let me tell you what you need to be praying, okay? This third one, open the scriptures, then ask God to open up your understanding of them. You're not just reading a book. You're reading manuscripts and letters that were written and moved on men by the Holy Ghost. Ask God, Father, give me understanding of the scriptures today. Father, let me understand really what this scripture means. Lord, let me see the underlying of this scripture. What does this verse really mean? Pray for your understanding, because the Bible says, are you ready for this one? My people perish because of the lack of knowledge, parentheses, the lack of understanding. Lack of knowledge and understanding. Lack of knowledge. My people are dying. We're going to go to Berea. They call it Berea, V-E-R-I-A, in just a matter of a few days. Berea. I will speak and preach there. What was so wonderful about the Bereans? Are you ready for this? The Bible said they searched the scriptures daily. Did you get that? They searched the scriptures daily. Every day. They would go and they would open up the Torah, the law, the scriptures, and they searched them, whether these things be so. They searched them. They looked into them. Let me tell you, this Bible is a gold mine. I'm going to help you with something right now. If you skim the surface, you'll never know the riches of this book. Did you get that? It's a gold mine. It's full of jewels. And you, when you're reading your Bible, turn the TV off. Get your music down low. Get your pad out. Get your pen out. Get your highlighter out. Because God's about to open up your understanding on what you're reading. And boy, when you do, oh my, you just do what I do. You get Post-its. You get Post-its in there. Okay? This is one of the things that I wrote down about the four guys that got on the roof. They had a courageous faith. They had a contagious faith. They had an outrageous faith. They had a tenacious faith. That's right there in Mark. Get your Post-its. It's all right to write in your Bible.
Amen.
It's all right to underline in your Bible. It's all right to highlight in your Bible. Did you get that?
Yes.
And you get there and you pray, God, open up Lord, I need my understanding open concerning healing. I need my understanding open, Lord, concerning tithing. I need my understanding, Lord, open my understanding of what it means, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Open my understanding, Lord. And that's what you pray, and you read, and you write, and you read, and you make notes, and you go back and read it again, and you read it again, and all of a sudden, it becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Light. You do not have to walk in darkness. The Bible said we're the children of light. We're the children of light. Therefore, walk in the light. This Bible is light. Light lamp shining on the inward parts, revealing who God is, revealing what God's love is, revealing what the truth is. This Bible is truth. Inerrant, unadulterated. Don't listen to anybody nowadays that's watered it down and says, well, the Bible's not what it says it is. That verse doesn't mean what it says. You better be careful, because the Bible, let me tell you how is it imperative about reading this Bible. You ready for this one? The last words in the book of the Bible, over 30 something thousand verses, 1,189 chapters, 66 books. When it comes down to the very last verse of the Bible, the very last two verses of the Bible, you know what it's saying? He that adds to this book, the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. And he that taketh away from this book, you ready? His part of the book of life will be taken away. We better be careful when we add to this book. And we better be careful when we take away from it. There's ministries that are taking away truth out of this book. It's not what it means. It's not what the Bible says. It's crazy. He opened their understanding. Father, this morning as we close, open our understanding. First of all, open up our eyes. Open up our eyes. Open up our eyes to the Scriptures. Open the Scriptures. And then open our understanding to what the Scriptures are saying to us, because they are relevant for our day that we're living in. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen.